Okay, today's daf is Bechoros Daf Tes. Bechoros Daf Tes, we are in we are on Chesem Abeis. We'll start with three lines from the bottom in a minute, but first a couple of thoughts related to yesterday's stories. It could be, someone pointed out to me, it could be that at the beginning when the it doesn't mean when the Caesar spoke to Reb Shimon Hananya and they wanted to disprove him at the beginning, the Savi de Beptuna are Be'inhu Va'ololotzlas. It could be that they made it snakes to each other. Arba Inu. That's what Arba Inu could mean. I had said it that they made it with the snakes, but it could be Arba Inu with the snakes. They made it with each other. Okay. Either way, the Marsha and the other Mefarshim that talk about these phrases, these conversations, say there's obviously something much deeper here. If you look in the beginning of the Marsha says, Ba'agadas Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya, Imsavi de Be'atuna, Lafisha Rabbi Matmi and Bedivri Agadazu, Be'inyen Nitzuach Sabbat Beatuna Hamufursamim Bechachma Gad Binyani Akesar. It's amazing the questions. Kinneresh Ayu Menachem Zem Zeb Bedivrei Hitov Sheker. Appears like it's a bunch of lies, a bunch of falsehoods. Like what are these conversations? Gama Talmud Shemazkir Kol Devrayim Shelofia Nira Ain Bahem Lo Chachma Velo Musar V'Davar Svatayim Af Lo Machzor Tzol Adifi Misaver Ben Sira Shasar Likros Bo Umikri Sifrei Chitz Svarim Chitzonim. What does this add? This isn't Shas. Some of these questions. Why did it make it through? So it must be Shabachacham Balni Sachon Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya Levakechem Akofrim Sabbat Beatuna. He said it must be there's something much deeper here, and therefore, if you understand what they're saying here, really, Ra'a Kavanas Devrayim Kefiya Munasenu Shabo Levakech Beremez Imachacham Meinyan Leinyan Mitchilas Emunosenu BeKabbalas HaTorah Umalas Yisrael VeDivuk Hashem VeHanavua VeHachachma Asher Bohem Yoser Mishar Ovdei Kochavim. All of these questions are really going to the heart of the difference of the religions between Judaism and the other nations. He goes through each one, what it symbolizes, right? So, for example, he says, that's one introduction. If you look in the Vilna Gaon, also translated by the juggler in the Juggler and the King, he also says that all of these questions are relating and refuting the Jewish people's claim to being the chosen people. The debates were over the essential values of Roman and Jewish culture, and most of all, over which of them deserves to be followed by mankind. Their argument only continued the ancient quarrel of the twin sons of Yitzchak, the founders of the two antithetical cultures. Parshas Toldos. Yaakov believed that life was given man to serve God and recognize his glory. Esau believed that life's purpose was for man to serve himself and further his own glory. No two worldviews could be more diametrically opposed. The Chulu and every statement relates to that. So let's talk about a number of them. I think yesterday I mentioned one thought on number five, build me a house in the air. So I saw that was from the Biurei Chasidus. The Me'ah Shiloach says that means build me a house in the sky. You think you could sanctify this land, this earth, you know, lifting up and try to build a house in the sky. There's nothing there. It's all Gashmi. Right? That's Athens. Maybe that's Yavan also because they're all into Gashmi as they're all into focusing on the Chisonius. And the answer was no. B'shem, with Shem Hashem, with everything that we do with our Dibor, in that way we can sanctify our lives through Tefillah, through Torah, the Chulu, and others. Let's see some other thoughts relating to the story of number four statement. Number four, they said, Milcha Kisaria, when salt goes bad, but my Malchile. So what do they salt it with? How do they preserve it? And then he answered with the afterbirth of a mule. And they say, well, mules don't have afterbirths. And he says, well, salt doesn't go bad. Right? That was conversation number four. What did that symbolize? Says the Gra. Salt, as we know, the connection between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael is called a bris melach, a covenant of salt. Why? Because that lasts forever. That's why we have salt in the Mizbeach, because also it preserves and it lasts forever. So what they're saying, what they asked, the seventh day after the answer to Shem Hanani is that Hashem rejected you. You think your bris is forever? When salt goes bad, what do you preserve it with? What are they saying? They're saying the salt has gone bad. You have rejected God. You have lost your Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it, You know, it's if you went against your if you violated the treaty, there's no reason for us to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't violate his treaty. If a covenant was violated, I'm just reading from the Juggler and the King now in some of these passages, is it not absurd for the Jews to believe that God's oath to redeem them is still binding? A covenant is mutual. If the Jewish people did not keep their part of it, surely God need no longer keep his promise. V'chulu, and that's the Bris Melachs, the salt's gone bad. So what does he answer them? The afterbirth of the mule. Just as mules are sterile animals, unable to continue their species into the next generation, so you say we too have become bereft of our ability to survive. But you know what? We also have an afterbirth to show that we are fertile beings, and that's what? Our children. We keep producing children, we keep giving them a Jewish education, we keep instilling in them the values of Torah. We may not have kept our personal obligation to occupy ourselves with Torah, but we still continue teaching Torah to our children. As long as we do so, God will not forsake us, and the covenant will be kept. We have the after, you think we're mules, but we have afterbirth, right? We keep going to the next generation. But then he says, could a mule have an afterbirth? Right? You're saying that you rejected it, so it's impossible. So we're saying, you think that's impossible, we say the salt can never be broken. The salt covenant. A covenant between God and his people by its very definition can never lapse any more than salt can be spoiled. God and the Jewish people have forged a mutual relationship, we can never be disconnected. And he continues, as we know, the Maharshal says in a different context, I mentioned this in another Shiurim, Velosia Leisha, the Medrash says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, with Kaf Alei Mark HaGigas, was ma'anis us, and he forced us to take the Torah. So that, kaviyachol, he forces himself never to be able to divorce us. Because the halacha bayinonis is, lo yuchal shalachol kol yamav. So that is the bris melach that Rabbi Shua ben Chananya is arguing. Next, what about question number 6? Mitziasa damahecha. Where's the middle of the world? Where's the middle of the world? He says, right here. And they say, prove it. And he says, bring me ropes to be able to measure. End of that conversation. What does that symbolize? Says the Gruff, fascinating. We know the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin that the world is going to be 6,000 years long. 2,000 years of Tohu, nothingness, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. That's what the Gemara says. We've spoken about this. What happened at the year 2000? Avram was 52 years old. At the year 2000, he was born in the Hebrew year 1948. So some say that was the year he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the year 2000. That's the year's Torah started. First 2,000 years was nothingness. 2,000 years of Torah. And then the last 2,000 years are Yemos HaMashiach, when Mashiach possibly could come. Did the Torah year stop? Rashi and Sanhedrin says no. It just means that it's also Yemos HaMashiach now. We've discussed in the past that maybe no, maybe something did happen at around the year 4000, because that was just around the year of the Ksivas HaMishnah. The Mishnah was written just around the year 4000, so maybe in a certain sense, the years of Torah stopped. Everything after the Mishnah is applying the principles that the Mishnah laid out. That's what the Chazon Ish writes in Hilchos Mamrim, on the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, towards the beginning. So the Romans know that Chazal. The Romans, the Savat Viatuna. I don't know why he teaches the girl also is relating this not only to the Greeks, but also the Romans. He says, when's the middle of the world? Meaning they know this Medrash. They say, according to you Jews, right, there's going to be 4,000 productive years in history. The first 2,000 are out. So right now, this was a little bit after, this was around the time. It's around the year 4,000, and Mashiach's not here. So you must be finished. It must be that it's never going to happen. That's what it means. Where's the middle of the world? We're in the middle of these 4,000 years. Yemos HaMashiach has started, and Mashiach has not come. So God must have rejected you. The present should be the midpoint between the two productive eras of the world, the eras of Torah and Mashiach. It has manifestly passed by, and the era of Mashiach has not begun. Why then do you persist in hoping for his arrival? Why should he come in the future if he didn't come in his appointed hour? Is it not clear that the time for his arrival has passed you by forever? V'chulu. So where's the middle of the world? What does he answer? He says, it's right here. He could come at any moment. Any second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems us worthy, or it's the time. So, you know, that's exactly the moment that we can merit the Mashiach. And then he adds, we mentioned this I think in a parshas here a couple of years ago. Fascinating. The Gemara Kedushin tells us, where's the middle of the Torah? So we know the word the letter vav in gachon. It talks about the snake that's holech al gachon, that Parsha Shmini, that's a tame animal. So the Gemara says at Kiddushin, the Vav of Gachon is the middle of the Torah. So the Gemara says, well, is the Vav The Gemara assumes that there's an even number of letters in the Torah. It says the Vav in the first half of the Torah, the second half of the Torah. That's what the Gemara says. Why don't you just take out a Torah and count? And the Gemara says, Anan lo bakiyan b'chaseres v'yaseres. So we're not bakiyan. We might be missing some letters and adding some letters of Mali and Chaser. So counting won't help. But we know Vav of Gachon is in the middle, and for some reason the Gemara doesn't assume it's an odd number of letters, so Vav could be right in the middle. But why is the Gachon, that's the center? So explains the Gra, the Gachon, the Nachash. Overcoming the Nachash is the purpose of the world. The Vav of Gachon, that's the midpoint. That's what we focus on throughout our lives. We focus on overcoming what the Nachash did. The essence of the entire Torah is to have man reject the serpent's enticements to deny God's sovereignty. On one level, the verse teaches us that we may not receive physical nourishment from the flesh of a snake. That's the Pashtus, Shmini. On another level, it teaches that we may not receive spiritual nourishment from the ideas of the serpent. But physically and ideologically, then, the verse constitutes the central point of the Torah. So when they say, what's the midpoint of the Torah, he says, right here, at every moment, we could go to that midpoint. We could go to the Vav of Gachon, and we could conquer. We could conquer the temptations of the Nachash. And that is the midpoint. Right? Rabbi Shua says, you ask, where's the era of Mashiach? Your success is the evidence that we have entered this era. You say, you are a fulfillment of the prophecy that Mashiach can only arrive when the ruling kingdom is completely heretical. But there's another chazal. Right? Mashiach's only going to come when it gets so bad. When it gets so bad, when Malchus Nefcha L'Minus, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that's what's happening. So we're just waiting for it to get really bad. But right now, it's the middle. Right now, we could conquer the Nachash. Right now, we could do it. And then he says, we'll just end with this one. And then he says, so they say, prove it. So he says, let's measure it. What do you mean, measure it? So he goes through a story in Shmuel Beis, Paraches, where David HaMelech measures, he takes the captives from Moab, and he measures, remember the story, he measures with a rope, two-thirds he kills them, and the other third he lets them go. So the Gemara relates also that story in terms of the measuring. David HaMelech knew that there's the third of existence is, at any moment, could bring Mashiach. So that's what the Gemara relates that story to this right here. One final one, and that's the Maral and the Marsha. Both go back to the first question. The first question. And that is, they say, if a girl goes to try to win a man goes to win a girl's hand in marriage, and the parents say, oh no, she's not for you, does he go to a higher class and then expect to get married there? So says Rav Shua ben Chananya, yeah. And he takes the peg and he sticks it into the lower part of the wall. It didn't fit. The higher part of the wall that was softer, it fits in. And he says, you know, sometimes the lower won't work and the higher part will work. What was the question? Says the Marsha, says the Maharal, they were saying, you Jews believe in the afterlife. You believe that there's something in the future. You were rejected in the lowly world. Of course you're going to be rejected in the upper worlds. Why should we think any differently? You got rejected down here in the lower class citizen. They didn't want you. So you think in Olam Emes, you're going to succeed. So says the Maharal says. And then the Marsha, I'll read it to you from the Maharal. So he says the answer is yes, because this world has nothing to do with the next world. You know, it can be very hard and difficult to go in, but the upper world is nice and soft. And it could be that the lower world is just a support of the upper world, right? Just like the bottom of a wall can be harder and thicker and harder to deal with. But if you want to hang a picture, you want to put a peg in, just go up. It's much softer. And the whole purpose is the upper half. That's the Maharal, that's the Marsha, relating to that story. Again, so as we see, these are just a couple of examples, but every one of these stories, look at the Marsha, has three columns on this, every one of these stories has a lot of symbolism and a lot to discuss. Feel free to look at more chapters of The Juggler and the King to help us understand what it is all about. Okay, the Nachash, the Vav of Gachon. Okay, we continue. So they lost. They conceded defeat. And they said, okay, we gotta go eat bread with you. So what happens? Three lines from the bottom. I sinhu kol chad v'chad. So he brings all of them to his boat. Ki chazi shisin bistarki. He brought them all. Remember what he asked from the Caesar? Build me a boat with 60 rooms, and each room put 60 bistarki, which are 60 chairs. So in every room, each of the 60 rooms, there are 60 chairs. So they go into each of these rooms. He puts them into one room. So each one sees the other 59 chairs. He's like, oh, I guess my friends are coming with me. Wonderful. Because they weren't scared if they were going to be with all their friends. They said, together we can do it. But that was the trick. Right? So he says, Kichadi Shisim Bistarki, when they saw the 60 chairs, Amar Kulu Chavroi Lachyasu. I guess my friends are coming with me. Wonderful. So they didn't give him a hard time going in. So Amar Lahu, after they were all in, he locked their doors and he says, Amar Lele Sapona, Shari Svintech, let's get out of here. Right? Undo your boat. Let's go back to Rome, right, where the Caesar was. So Bahadi to Kaasi, as they were leaving, Shakal Afra Me'afrayu. As they were leaving, he took some dirt from Athens, right, for something that he's going to need it for later. Well, Rabbi Shimon Chananya was always prepared for future situations. Kimati lebei Belii, when they came to Bei Belii, what's Bei Belii? The water that swallows. There was a certain area, Rashi explains, in the water, Miyam Okeanis, that the water, it was like a tide, like I guess it was a whirlpool, where all the water kept being swallowed, right, by the other waters. So they assumed that it seemed like there were certain powers to water to swallow other water. Right, that's what it's described. Shebolim called Memo Sheba Olam, Shenoflim Bo Mevi Mosamatahom. So he grabbed and took some of that water. Okay, he took some of that water when they got there to take with him also. Male kuza de mayim mebli. He brought a little kuz of mayim of that water. Good. Kadasu, when he got back to Rome, ukminhu kami kesar, he stood up these 60, quote unquote, wise men of Athens in front of the Caesar. Chazinhu tahavi ma'ani. He saw they were downtrodden. Rashi, mu'unin ushfelim. They were lowly. They didn't look like the great wise people. Why? Because they weren't acting natural because they weren't in their land. They weren't in their land, so they were just so Caesar didn't believe. Amalei hani labdinu. These aren't them, because only when you feel natural in your surroundings, that's when you will act natural. Like the Radak says, I think it's the Radak. The Radak says in Sefer Shmuel when Eliyahu HaNavi had to, he created the lions that came out and attacked those that make fun of him and called him Kireach, Kireach. So it doesn't just say that he created lions. He created the bears. Bears? I remember. So it was the wild animals. So he created the forests, in order for the, I think it was the bears, in order for the bears, the Dov Shakul, right? So the bears to come out. So why did the Radak there says, what do you need the forest for? Just create the bears. The answer is bears only act natural, I guess even miraculous bears, only act natural if they feel comfortable in their surroundings, what they're used to. That's why you had to create the forest also in order for the animals to go attack. That's the story of Navi. So Amalei, so Hani Lavninus, the Caesar says, these aren't them. So Shakal Me'afrayu v'shadi Lavayu. So what did he do? He took out the dirt from his pocket that he had taken from Athens, throws it at their feet, and all of a sudden, they start being brazen and obnoxious like they normally are. Ikashu Lapimaka, they start saying things to the Caesar. So he says, so he realizes that these are the true wise people. How do you get them? Amar Le, he says to Rabbi Shua, called the bus Avi Lebahu. Okay, whatever you want. Do with them whatever you want. So what does he do? Aisinhu Maya, da Aisimi Me Bli. He brings the water from Bei Bli. He takes out the water from his pocket. Shadinu Batigda. He throws it into a barrel. He throws this water that swallows up all other waters into a barrel. And Amalahu, he says to them, you want to go free? Mal yuha luhu v'izulahu. Fill up this barrel with water and then you can leave. So what do? They're like, oh, that's easy. They start filling up the barrel and the water keeps being swallowed by the water in the bottom. It's the water, the barrel of unending girth, unending size. Malu v'shadubu kamai kamai malu. Keeps being swallowed up. Malu adashami kitfayu, they keep filling up the water until their shoulders become dislocated. I mean, they're doing it, they want to leave. If they keep just going, filling up, they're probably just getting frustrated. Like, what is going on here? And they lose. Ubaluluhu, and they become worn out, va'azul, and they leave. What does it mean they leave? Rashi says, v'holchu li'ivadon. They went to they met their destructive fate. They just, went crazy. Right? Va'azul, and they are no longer with us. Okay, Adkan Sugis Save Deve Atuna, something that we take with us for the rest of our lives. Feel free to try to analyze some of the other stories about the mule coming out with a petek on its neck that says, my grandparents owe 100,000 shkalim. So every one of these has special merit, right? The well in the desert, bring it to the city, right? Everyone. Okay, we continue. Says the Mishnah. Back to Maseches Bechoros. If you remember, just to remind ourselves, the first parak in Maseches Bechoros, which we have four more blot to, Be'ez Hashem, first parak is all about Peter Chamor. Remember, the next couple of parakim are going to be about Peter Bechor Behema Tahora. Right, the first, the kosher animals firstborn. But first, Gemara describes Peter, the Mishnayos describe Peter Chamor. So, back to those halachas. Chamora, Shalom Bichra, as we know, a donkey has to have a male offspring first in order to have the status of Petach Hamor. So what if you have a chamora, a female donkey, Shlo Bechra, that did not have a firstborn yet? And she had two babies. She had two males. So do we have to worry that they came out at the exact same moment? And maybe they're both Petach Hamors. Says the Mishnah, no. No saying Tle Echel Kohen. One of them is a Bechor, so one sheep you give to the Kohen, that's all. Zachar Unikeva. What about Zachar Unikeva? If it was a male and a female, you weren't there. You weren't there when this Chamora had her babies. So you don't know, or maybe you were, and you couldn't tell which one came out first. Mafrish Tle Echon La'atzmo. So you have to be Mafrish one. We'll have to see why, just to a foreshadow already. Maybe because it's Asr Bahana'a until you're Mafrish your sheep. The Petach Hamor, that's why you would have to be Mafrish one. So you're Mafrish one, but then you're allowed to keep it. Because it's not a carbon, the Seh, that you're supposed to give to the Kohen. So because it's a suffix, whether the female came out first or not, so just in case you're Mafrish, just in case the Zachar came out first, but then, Wa'atzmo, then you're allowed to keep it. As Rashi says, Hamotzi Mechaveiro Alav Haraya, the Kohen has to come along and prove that it didn't come out first. What happens if the Yisrael then takes this Tle and then goes to a woman and says, Haraya Mukudesh Asli, but Tle Zu, because that's Moshe of Yisrael? Is he married? Is he married? So that depends how you view Amotze Bechaver Olav Araya. That's a general question. Rabbi Chanan deals with in Kovetz Ha'aris in Yevamis, Simin Ayin Aleph. He discusses this Chakira. How do we view? If I go over to you and say, you're wearing my shirt, and you say, no, it's my shirt. And I say, no, can I please have my shirt? And you say, no, I'm keeping it. So the halacha is the person wearing the shirt gets to keep it because he's muchzak in the shirt. That's what we paskin when we have a stalemate in Dini Mamanis. How do we view that? Do we view that as we call a birur? It has clarified the case and therefore we don't just let you keep it. We assume it's yours. That's what Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya means. Until you can prove it, it's considered his. Or do we say, no, we have no idea whose it is. We're letting you keep it, but it's not fully yours. So lamai nafkamina. That's what Rabbi Chanan says. The mesafkulu begemara bedina damos mechaber lavaraya imu din vade o eno el safik tekiven delo yadina shalmihu ein koach lebetzin lasso shemaisa baze umemela nishar itzal muchzak de eno ni yicholon lahotzi menu umemela. But if this is true, nafkamina number one tfisa. If the other person grabs it, do we now let the other person keep it because now he's the muchzak? So, that would depend whether it's muchzak as a din vade or a din safek. Number one. Number two, always the litmus test used for bialis, marriage. Could a person get married with this? So that's an afkamina. If you say it's a muchzak vadeis, then he can. If not, not. That's our case. Our case. Could the Yisrael use this tlet to get married with? Then we would say it depends on our case. Right, imke b'shashu etzel arishon eino el asafik shlo v'im kiddush yishu b'mamuze eino el asafik mekudeshes o dilma dina demasim echaver avaraya hu din vadev lo safik t'mo b'isurin azlina basar chazak avavi din vadev lo safik hachanayim b'mamon azlina basar cheskas mamon v'hu din vadai v'chulu. So it's tfisa and kiddushin are the two nafkaminas that he brings. Okay, there are others, but we will stop here. Okay, so that is the question about what we would think about that case. But either way, Lamaisa, for our purposes, you take a tla, if there's a suffix bechor, you take a tla and you keep it for yourself. Next case. Shtei chamorim shelo bichru. Somebody has two donkeys, two female donkeys that didn't have firstborns, the yoldu shnei zacharim, and they each had a baby. They each had a male. Shon nozin shnei tlam lekohen. So that's obvious. You gotta give two sheep to the kohen. Zachar unikeva. What if you know from these two donkeys, there was born a male and a female? O shnei zacharim in a keva, or two males and a female, nosi tle echel kohen. So you have to give one, because male and female, you know for sure there was a bechor. Right? Two males and a female, so one vadai, one suffik. Right? So therefore, you only have to give one tle. Shtei nekevas v'zachar, o shnei zacharim v'shtei nekevas. If you know there were two females involved, ein lekohen klum. Or the bachi adds in, ein kam lekohen klum, the kohen gets nothing. Right? Because it could be that the females came out first, so therefore, one doesn't have to give anything. There is a difficult shita of the Rambam. Well, the Rambam fits in better to the language of the Mishnah, but Rashi seems to fit in better to the Svara of the Mishnah. In this case, what would you say? Right, in this case, they say there are two females and two males born. So what's the halacha? You don't have to give anything to the Kohen. But Pashtus is, what would you have said? And this is what Rashi says, you have to be mafresh for yourself and keep it. That's what Rashi says. But look at the language of the Mishnah. The first case in the Mishnah, it said, Mafish tla echad la'atzmo. So what should the Mishnah have said here? Mafish shnei tlaim la'atzmo. But what does the Mishnah say? Kohen gets nothing. That's what the Mishnah says. So that's where the Rambam probably gets his shita from. If you look at the Rambam, Anichos Bikurim, the Rambam says, and the Ravid is very upset. The Rambam says, he goes through the first cases, which are straightforward, and then the Rambam says, Yoldu, this is Yud Beis Chaf Aleph. Yoldu Shtei Nekevas V'Zachar. Or Shtei Zachar V'Shei Nekevas. Our case, right, where two females were born. So it's possible that there's no Kedusha. Ein Kam Kohen Klum. You don't have to give it to the Kohen. So far, so good. But then he adds, the Ein Tzarech Lahafrish Tle La'atzmo. You don't even have to be mafresh anything for yourself in these cases. Lefi sheyesh kan sveikos harbe. Because there are so many doubts here. Shema ha'achas yolda zachar v'ashniyash de nekevas. O shema zu yolda nekeva v'achar zachar. V'achar nekeva. O nekeva sheachar zachar. V'chein sveikos, there's so many sveikos, you don't have to do anything. Ask the Ravid, ask the Kesef Mishnah, ask everybody. But so what, there are sveikos? There's still suffering, yes sir. So you should have to do it, be mafresh and keep it for yourself. For some reason, the Rambam thinks once you get to Sveikos Harbe, you don't have to do anything. And the Kesef Mishnah and the Radvaz both point out, the Rambam's getting it from the language of the Mishnah, even though we don't understand it. Right? The Radvaz just leaves it as a Tzorachian. He doesn't even have a suggestion for what the Rambam means. But the Kesef Mishnah tries to say that since you don't have to do anything, so then, you know, it must be that the Chazal, you know, there must be a difference between the case of possibly two females versus a case where, like the first case of the Mishnah, of Zachar Unikeva. Mafresh Lecha La'atzmo. You have to be machalik, a little difficult, but that is that's the difficult, psak of the Rambam. Okay, we continue though now. Second half of the Mishnah. Akas Becha V'Achar Shalom Bechra. Let's say you have one, female donkey that already had her firstborn and one that didn't. The Yolda Shnei Zacharim. No sin to Lech. The Kohen. Fine. You know they both had males. So one of them had a Bechor. So you give one to the Kohen. Zachar Unikeva. Mafresh Le'echad La'atzmo. A male and a female. So then, it could be that the one who didn't have a firstborn had the Nekeva first. So there's no Bechor here. So you have to be Mafresh one just in case. But La'atzmo, you keep it for yourself. Again, you got to think about it. If there's only one Safek, the Rambam would say you have to be mafresh. Two sveikas, once you get to more sveikas, then the Rambam would say you have to do nothing. Right? Maybe there's no leidas hasafik there. Shene emar. This shene emar is going on the whole Mishnah. The halacha is shene emar. Ufetach amar tifteveseh. Mirak vasim u'minehizim. Petach amar you have to give to the Kohen. Zachar u'nekeva. Gadol v'katan. Tamim u'balmum. It doesn't matter. The seh is not going to be a Kohen, karban. So you can give a male or a female, big or small. Complete, tamim, perfect, or a balmum. It doesn't matter what you need to give. Again, this you could have argued should have been the first Mishnah in the Masechta, this quoting this pasuk, but this is where Rabbi Yudanasi put it. Right, this is the source. You have to give a set. Pode bo pamim harbe, and you can be pode with it many times over. If you remember, this was a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos earlier. What this meant? Rashi meant if you give a set to the Kohen and then he gives it back to you, he sells it back to you, gives it back to you, you can use it again. Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam quoted, this means about Suffolk Bechor. If you have three Suffolk Bechoras, you could use one set for the Kohen. And you don't have to use one per one. And we said that also, that machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam also might be a machlokas about how to look at Hamotzei Mechaver Lo Baraya. Right, that was the machlokas we had back here on Daf earlier, right, where we had it, right, it says on the side, see, Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Right, Dalet Amud Beis on top over here, exactly what the case is of Podei Bo Pamim Harbe. Okay. We continue. Nichras l'dir l'saser, last line. The Bechor goes into the flock in order to have Meiser Behema taken from it. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. The Mesna Nimbo, and if the animal dies before, you're allowed to get Hana from it. Which animal? Again, we'll have to see. The Gemara will explain it. The Gemara. Gemara. Mantana, who is the author of our Mishnah? Meaning, who is the author of our Mishnah that, let's say, two boys, two males come out at once, you only have to assume that one of them is the Bechor. So, Machlokas. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Delok Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yirmiyah assumes it's not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Do you, Rabbi Yossi Aglili? What does Rabbi Yossi Aglili hold? Hamar Efshel Atamsim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it's possible that things happen at the exact same moment. So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it could be they both came out at the exact same moment. They're both Bechors, and therefore you have to give two to the Kohen, or at least one to the Kohen and one to keep yourself. The fact that the Mishnah says you only have to give one to the Kohen, and that's it, means our Mishnah is against Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, no. Afilu tamer Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Our Mishnah could even be like Rabbi Yossi Aglili Shita. Why? Shiny Hasam Dechsev Hazacharim Lashem. Even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree here that one would only give one in this case, because it says by the Rachel, by the Seah, Zacharim Lashem. Rashi says on the fourth one line, Demashma Shnayim. When it comes to Bechor Behema Tahora, it uses a plural Lashon. So it's possible there that if two come out at once of a kosher mother, then they both have Kedusha. But by Petach Hamar, it doesn't say the plural, so it must be the contrast, so you hold E.F. Shalat Sam, even if you want to say E.F. Shalat Sam same, only one of them is going to have the Chalos, the status, and therefore, you only have they have to give one. Right, so that is Abaya, our Mishnah can be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Ligmar Mines.
What does that mean? That it's
Efshel Asam Seim. It's Efshel Asam, but there's a special din by Petach Hamar, one per mother. One per mother. Right, even if you hold Efshel Asam Seim by Bechor Behema Tahora. The Ligmar Mines. So why don't you learn from there then? Why don't you learn from Bechor Behema Tahora? Why don't you extend it? No, Hamiyat Rachmana Hazacharim. Hazacharim. This Hazacharim could be plural and not the other Bechor. That is Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaya. Ika d'amre, let's finish first, and then we'll make a comment. Ika d'amre, lema d'lo b'kor b'yos yaglili. Let's say, this bitch is not like b'yos yaglili, d'ika b'yos yaglili, ha'amar efshel atzam, same. Amar Abaya, afilu tema d'ver b'yos yaglili, shani yasa d'chsev azachar m'lashem. Fine, what's the difference in the versions? Maybe we didn't ask the next question, maybe the first part wasn't in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay, slightly different version. Ask the Gemara, Bishlama, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Fine, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Delo Muki like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hainu Delo Ktani, V'yatu Shnei Rashim Ke'echan. And that's why it doesn't say they both came out at one time. That's why it doesn't get into that, because if it did come out at the same exact time, it doesn't make a difference. Because we hold like Rabbi Yossi, we hold like the Rabbanan. Elala Abaya, listening the Yasser Shei Rashem Ke'echad. But according to Abaya, who learns our Mishnah, even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it would be a bigger chiddush to mention, if they came out at the exact same moment, still only one set is required. So why doesn't the Mishnah mention that? Number one, the Od Tanya, and also we have a Brisa that's Mefurish against Abaya. Chamoru shelo bichra, v'yoldo shnei zacharim. If a donkey that did not have a firstborn yet had two males, v'yasu shnei rashem ke'echad, and they came out at the exact same time, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, shnei l'kohen, shnei mar hazacharim l'ashem, as it says, hazacharim l'ashem. The Gemara just questions, what do you mean, ki ksiv hai b'kudushas ha'gufu d'ksiv? Hazacharim l'ashem is by b'char b'hema tahora. What do you mean, shnei mar, as it says? It's talking to the halacha you're talking about, it's about Petach Hamar. So the Gemara says, okay, you're Ela Mishum Shenemar Hazacharim Lashem. Because it says elsewhere, and we learned it from there, so you're right, we extend it. But either way, the Brisa says that even by Petach Hamar, Rabbi Yossi Aglili would hold Efshar Litzam same, and both of them would have the status of Petach Hamar, Tziufta Da Abaya Tziufta. So we do not, it's a Kasha on Abaya, that our Mishnah must be against Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Let's just finish, and then we'll talk. V'Rabbanan. You know what? Let's wait a second, because those lines are important. Just one comment on the bottom. There is a sheet of the Minchas Chinuch that has come up. Whenever you mention Efshel Tzam Seim, you gotta mention this Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is in Mitzvah Kuftes, Mitzvah 109, on the Isser D'Araisa of creating the Shemen HaMishcha in the exact measurements that it was in the days of the Mishkan. So ask the Minchas Chinuch. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the only one that says Efshel Asam same. We paskin possibly, at least in some cases, Efshel Asam same. Like the Rabbanan, we assume you can't be so exact, both in time and in measurements. So how could the Isser of the Sholol Lasos B'maskones Shemen HaMishcha is only if you use the exact amount of ingredients that was used then? How could we ever violate? How could we ever violate Efshel Asam same? You can't be so exact, so we'll never violate this. That's the Isser yes by the oil. That's the Isser yes by the Ketores too. Right? The other Isser of making the Ketores. Right? So how could anybody ever violate that Isser if One could we pass in the Eshel Atzamtzim. So says the Minchas Chinuch, it must be by mitzvahs and averos that by definition have measurements to them. Lo nitna Torah l'malach esharis, and the Eshel Atzamtzim there according to everybody. Well, we're going to say that what about there's a mitzvah to eat a k'zayis and matzah on the night of Pesach? What Eshel Atzamtzim? Therefore, we'll never yotze the mitzvah. No. That's inherent by mitzvahs and by averos that have a requisite shear, so that it has to be. But makam da mitzvah kachi lo shayach lomar yevshal atzamsem. Da tor nitna lebnei adam ala aretz ukefi kochenu kein ha mitzvah v'ha azhara v'chein kol achilas mitzvah o iser da torah agamarei shein bekezayis o shir machirim sheish batorah hatorah nitna hatzimtzum lefi daitenu. Vade, but that's all them tell you milsa. This you have to say this, right? If not, the whole half the mitzvahs would be thrown out, right? So by all mitzvahs of achilah, you have to say efshal etzamsim. Very important minchas chinuch in mitzvah kuf tes. Viter says the Gemara on the top, the Rabbanon. And what about according to the Rabbanon that say, what do the Rabbanon hold? Even if it comes out at the exact same time, only one of them has kedusha. Because we assume one came out first. But there's another problem, asked the Gemara. Lema kasavi rabbanon miksas rechem makdish? Let's say, what gives the kedusha to a baby, to this baby, to that kedusha, the status, to the baby petach hamar? If they came out at the exact same time, even if one of them came out first, but each one of them is only touching half the rechem on the way out. It's being blocked by its sibling. Di kulei rechem, so it must be the rabbanon hold, you only need part. Part of the rechem to touch it. De'i kuli rechem makdish, because if you need the whole rechem, nehi de'yevshal etzamsem, chatzisam ya'ik, it's still a chatzisa. And therefore it must be the rabbanon hold, only mixas rechem is needed to sanctify this, or to give status to this chamor. Amarav, no, there's no chatzisa here. Why? Min b'mino, eino chotzeis. No, it's all the same. It's all min b'mino. And min b'mino does not represent a chatzitza, so it could be they require the entire rechem to touch, but this is not a problem because this is min b'mino. This discussion in the Gemara about mixas rechem makdish or not is here by where? By Peter Chamor. Major machlokas achronim. Does mixas rechem, is that a sugya by Pidyon HaBen? By Pidyon HaBen. For example, if a baby comes out with forceps, a b'chor, is there kedushas, and does there a pidyon haben? Do it with a bracha. So this is very unclear. Nowhere in Shas did they talk about it. So if you look in the Avnei Nezer assumes it is p'tur. It is p'tur. The Avnei Nezer in Yerideya, Avnei Nezer lived right at the turn of the 20th century, beginning of the 1900s. He says, Sha'alti, I was asked, Bidvar yelid b'char sha'arofim hotzi uhu mirechemimo b'kapot, with forceps. Ba'ofen sha'kapot hayim afsikin bein rosho laharechem. Uladina, I think, animaskim im kvot haraso de pater mipidyon. Ba'ofen im lohaya rof hekef harosh nogea b'rechemimo. Va'omer ani, and then I'm going to, because I love Lumdis, I'm going to talk about this for 3 pages, but he says at the end of the day, he says he thinks there's a p'tur. He says, gam efshar sha'af harov amagula aidei ha'instrumentum. I think it is Pater. He has a couple of shuvas here in a row about that. That's the Avnei Nezer. The Chalkas Yoav also Paskins Pater here. So 2 points. Number one, says Rav Moshe. I beg to differ. Says Rav Moshe, Yoredeya, Chela Gimel, Simon, Kuf, Chaf, Hey. A shuva written in Tavshin Mem, 1980, written to his grandson. He says, "Bedvar hayelad asher rofim motziu bekfos vechulu." He says, "Lanias daiti mistaber bepshitus deikar deinyan chatzitza liro leka leinyan bechar adam da halom atzinu shemitzar chatzitza lo yeavlad bedin bechora el bechar behema bebechoros shom belashen shavade chotzeitz." But who says that this Gemara in Bechoros Daf Tes should be applied to humans? It only applies to animals. The gamlo nimsa. And Ramosha can say this. Lo nimsa b'divrei Rabbi Seinu ha-mafarshim ha-poskim ha-rambam b'harash v'ha-rambam v'tervish shochanach v'nosei kelim shum remez. There's no hint shehu adin l'bachar adam she'ino nifte v'gam lo b'sifrei tshuvis ha-rishonim v'ha-achronim ha-yiduim lo re'inu. Ramosha says it's nowhere in the literature of Torah she'bal peh or b'chsaf. V'rak ha-gon b'al Avnei Nezer, v'agon b'al Chalkas Yoav, v'od b'divrei Rabboseinu, achroni ha-achronim, hischilu l'adun b'zeh, v'rubam heim l'chayiv, misad de'in chazeh chatzitza mamish, rov ha-rosh, v'yivki mistaver, d'alek in y'chatzitza, af l'histapik, el b'b'char b'b'hema, sh'b'me'ay ha'eim. says, I don't think there is a problem. And then he quotes, and he says, Misvara, I would tell you, even, I think you should make chilukim between animals and people, and there are many other halachas that are different, Rav Moshe goes through. And then he says, "V'yitzchalti l'chapes b'svarim d'achroni achronim." I started checking some of the later achronim. V'ra'isi b'levushi Mordechai. I finally found it. Rav Moshe says, and he continues. Anyway, that's Rav Moshe. He says, "No way for sure. There's no issue of chatzisa." B'chol ofan bizman hazeh. If you look in Pidyon HaBen Kelchasa, gotta have it for these days, right? Pidyon HaBen Kelchasa. He quotes that the way that we do it anyway, the forceps that we do, we use it much lower down. After the baby has already exited the uterus and exited the, gets lower than the cervix, so even the Avnei Nezer would agree today that you do a Pidyon HaBen even with a bracha if forceps were used. Ulamaisa bizmanenu ein l'stapik klal bazeh. Kivat shalav mel kachayim ena magios otok arechem v'rak achar shozi avlad rosho mitzavar arechem mishtam shemelachim elu upashut shechaya bepidyon l'chaladeus ubibracha. Once we're here, just read the next line. Vlasha usiyam irechem al imo al yedei she'iva b'machshir vacuum. Right? If you take him out with a vacuum, maybe he's stuck in there. So, hariza peter recha v'chay b'pidyon. So that's for sure. You just pull him out, but with pressure. But that's not, there's no patur, there's no hefsik. Anyway, pidyon ben kofasa in the clutch. Right there in Perek Beis. Here we go. Let's continue. There are about 35, I don't know, svarim like that these days, right? Mayim Achronim Kelchasa, we had Shiloh Hakam Kelchasa 2 weeks ago, so you gotta have the Sefer when you need it. Right? You think, like, what am I, right? Mayim Gluyim Kelchasa, I don't know, according to some, you might not need that if you're asking, like, no Mayim Gluyim Bizman Hazeh, but some of the other ones are, obviously, Hakolas Kalim and others, Yontav Sheni Kelchasa, right? Mechiras Chametz Kelchasa. You have to have all of them. Okay, weiter. Zacher when he came in mafresh tleh v'chulu. So it's Zacher when he came in mafresh tleh. V'kibun dela atzma hu lam le lafrushe. If you're being mafresh, if you're keeping it, what's the point of being mafresh it? Answer, la afkue li isure mine. To be mafkia the isser that's on the donkey. Alma, what do you see from there? Kibun dela mifka asur bahana. Our mishnah is going like the opinion that the donkey, the peter rechim, is asur bahana until you're podet. Till your poda. Mish, period. Masisa mani Rabbi Yehuda, must be like the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Peta Rechem, Peta Chamor, Asur Bahana. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Machlokas Tanoim. Whether the Chamor is Asur Bahana'a before the Pidyon, and our Mishnah seems to be going like Rabbi Yehuda that there is. So, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What are the svaras of Rabbi Yehuda? So, first we have, suggestion number one. My time is Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Ula, Yesh Lachadavar Shetzorch Pediya Umutur. Is there anything ever that needs to be redeemed and it's Mutter before you do the Pidyon? So it's got to be usher beforehand. Just to note, the Achronim point out, what about karka of Beis HaMikdash? Right, let's see, I makdash my yard to the Beis HaMikdash. There is this principle called Ein Mi'ila B'Karkaos. There's no Isra Mi'ila by karka. Does that mean there's no Dinam Mi'ila at all? Or there is an Isra, but other halachas don't apply. So some Achronim prove from this line, maybe we'll have a share about this next week, some Achronim prove from this line that there must be an Isra Mi'ila. Because there are Mi'ila, karka, Beis HaMikdash requires Pidyon, but beforehand, so it says, it has to be Zavim Mutter before Pidyon, so something that says Araya. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, if it requires Pidyon, it must be Usher beforehand. The word says, below, Fari B'chal Adam, Shazor Pidyon Mutter. What do you mean? What about your son? Your firstborn son? Is he Usher Bahana? You know how to give him a kiss? Before you do Pidyon HaBen, you get so much Hana from him. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Ela yesh lecha davar shekpidu of Torah b'seh umutter. Is you have anything that the Torah is so specific about that it has to be redeemed with a sheep and it's mutter beforehand? So the Gemara says, umi yekpida, is there such a kpida? V'yara Rav Nechemya, b'rei Rav Yosef, parakle b'shilki b'shavyo. Rav Nechemya redeemed it with cooked vegetables. The value of the donkey. So says only l'chadchila. So Gemara says, no, b'shavyo lo ka'amar, ki kamrina and shalo b'shavyo. You're right. If you redeem the value of, so then b'shavyo, that's fine. I'm talking about even shalo b'shavyo. If it's shalo b'shavyo, you have to use the seh. V'achi ka'amar, yesh chadar shehikmet alav Torah lafkui b'yisurei b'seh. Right? Is the Torah, you find anything the Torah is so specific about? So it must be that it's usher beforehand. So again, the Gemara says, "V'hari meiser shekpid alav Torah kesef tsuri by meiser sheni." You have to use special money to redeem it. Kesef Tzuri, you can't use an asimon, as the Gemara says. Vitznan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'mezid kidesh. And Rabbi Yehuda says, b'mezid, if you use Meiser Sheni to marry a woman, kidesh, it works. So it sees it's, you see it's mutar bana before it's redeemed. So Gemara says, b'petach hamar nami mikdasha. What do you mean? Petach hamar would also work if you use a petach hamar to get married with. Kid Rabbi Elazar. But it's still not a problem because it's like Rabbi Elazar. To Amar Rabbi Elazar, Isha Yodash in Meiser Sheni Mischala Al Yada. The woman knows that she could do nothing with this Meiser Sheni when she gets it outside of Yerushalayim. The Olev Ochalta of Yerushalayim. And she goes and eats it in Yerushalayim, meaning it's not a question of, oh, this is an example of something that it's Mutter Bana beforehand. It's not. The marriage only works later once she gets to Yerushalayim. So Hachanami, Isha Yodas, the Petach Hamar, Asi, Isura Isbe, Upirka Lebeseh, she knows that she can't do anything with this donkey, she's going to be Pode with a Seh, Umidah Shamanach Tamei Beni, and then she'll be Mukudeshes with the difference in between the value of the Hamar and the Seh. So Mimanavshach, the answer of the Gemara is that in both these cases, it is Asur Bahana beforehand. The marriage is only delayed after the pidyon, or after you bring it up to Yerushalayim.
I understand. If you give a woman a coin to get married, she's not getting enough at that second.
No, but the coin is hana'able at that very second.
So it's nice to shame.
No, but you have to schlep it up to Yerushalayim. At this moment, where it is right now, it's worthless to me. I can't get hana'a from it. Here, I can sell this right here. Period. So that's all Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Shimon my taima, Amar Ula. Yishtachal davar shepidyon ha-mutter v'hu asur. Rabbi Ula said, what? The Rabbi Shimon says, what? The says mutter. So what? The it was usher beforehand? If the what you redeem it for is going to be totally chulin, so it must be beforehand it was chulin too. Velo? Vari shvias, the bidyona mutter, vahi asur. What about shvias? If your pota shvias isn't, doesn't its money become mutter? So the answer is no. Shvias nami bidyona usher. If your pota paper shvias, the value of that is also usher. Dharamar, ha achron achron usher. We paskin that the last, whatever you redeem shvius onto, it's usher. And if you switch that, the last thing always keeps the status. That is all approach number one. What's the reasons for Reb Shimon or Reb Yehuda? These types of svaras. V'bayisema, Reb Shimon b'hai krok kemiflagi. Maybe they argue about a pasik. D'tanya, again, the machlokas whether petach hamar is usher b'ana or not. Lo sava b'vchar sharecha, do not work the b'chor of your ox, avalata oved b'shalcho b'shalachirim. But you're allowed to work the b'chor that you have a partnership with a guy. If you have a partnership, right, you're allowed to shear if you have a partnership. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda holds, as we saw earlier, Rashi points us out, even though Rabbi Yehuda holds a partnership, you have to give half the money to the Kohen, but still, in terms of the Isser of Giza and Avoda, it doesn't have Kedusha, and therefore it's Mutter. That's what Rabbi Yehuda uses the Psukim for. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo savo b'vchar sharecha, avalata oved b'vchar adam. Right? There's no Isra Pidyon HaBen. Lo sagas b'vchar tzonecha, avalata gozeiz b'vchar chamar. So, Rabbi Shimon uses these to exclude that there's no Isra Anah by b'vchar adam and b'vchar behem. Amazing. What's the Havamina? There's a Havamina that by b'vchar adam it would be Asra b'Anah. Interesting. So, Bishlo, the Reb Shimon, Hainu, Dasid, Trey, Kroy. Reb Shimon, I understand why there are two psukim. It's two different halachas. Evel, Reb Yehuda, Trey, Kroy, Lam, Ute, Shalchav, Shalachar, Lamali. What do you need two psukim to exclude the shutfis with a guy? Vesu, Reb Yehuda, Bechar Adam, Nami, name it the Asir. According to Reb Yehuda, what about Bechar Adam? How does he know there's no Isra Anah there? So, Ella, Tukuliyama, Sharcha, Lam, Ute, Bechar Adam, Uda Asir. You're right. The first one is excluding Bechar Adam. Bechar Adam, and again, amazing Havamina. Right? Why would that be Osir? Ki pligi b'tzoncha. The question is tzoncha. It's Rabbi Yehuda, lo time made the Amar Shutfis Obi Gochavim Chayeves b'bechora. Shutfis of a guy is Chayev. V'chi Yisra Krala Mishrei B'gizu B'avoda. And because it's Chayev and Bechora, you need a pasuk to tell me that it's Mutter shearing it and working it. V'Rabbi Shimon Savar, no, there's no Havamina. Shutfis Obi Gochavim B'turim and B'chora. Spatu, Lini Gizu B'avoda, lo Yisra Krala. You don't need a pasuk to tell me it's Mutter to work it and shear it. There's no Kedusha. You need the pasuk, therefore, to exclude petach hamar, and therefore it's mutter. One more line, period. Bish, the mother of Yehuda, hainu dechsev sonecha, v'sharecha atu sonecha. It says sheep, and shar is atu tzon. El Reb Shimon, sharcha v'tzoncha lamali. Why doesn't it just say shar v'tzon? Sharcha v'tzoncha sounds like a Yehuda's right? You're excluding shutfis. Why does it say sharcha and sonecha? Kasha. So we don't have an answer to that question. Period. We will stop here. We didn't get to talk about it, but look at the top tosfos here. Top tosfos is an important tosfos in terms of the relationship between pidyon and arifa. Do they always go together? right? So what if you're, it's a suffix about pidyon, but there's also a suffix about arifa. It's not just a suffix in mominus. It's a suffix mitzvah. You should have to do the arifa. So that's the top Tosfos, where he discusses it. Okay, we'll stop here.